Hallelujah. The title of we're talking about today is Desiring God Above All Things. Oh, yeah. Desiring God Above All Things. Turn to Psalms 27 and 8.
Thank you, sir. Lord, you're good. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
When you have it, say amen. Okay, 27, 8. When I get it, I'm going to say amen. I know y'all might be thinking, maybe not, why you starting at Psalms 27 and 8. I believe that this is really where the scripture starts at. Psalms 27 and 8. Let's read it. And when thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I believe that this is really what it's all about, this face-to-face encounters with God. Psalm 67 says, O God, be merciful unto me. Shine your face upon me. Why? So that your way may be known upon the earth and your salvation demonstrated among the nations. So what are you saying? God is saying that in this face-to-face encounters, we're going to see revival. We're going to see people getting saved. This is so that all the people will praise him. In the face-to-face encounters, when we have that, when we see him for who he really is, when we see God for who he really is as our joy, as our satisfaction, hallelujah, as everything to us, as the abundance of all things, he says, then his way will be known. Because we'll begin to reflect back to him the radiance of his worth. We'll be able to go public with the glory of God. He won't just be here inwardly where we're satisfied in here, but it will show on our faces. You won't keep quiet. That joy will overflow and it will pour out. It will go out and people will see that joy. It's just like when we're tasting something good. When you're tasting something good, you know, you like, it's a smile on your face. You can't hide it. It's like, you just can't hide it. But when I say you tasting something good, I'm like, give me some of that. That's what the world going to do. They say, what are you eating? What are you drinking? This is how real worship leaders are supposed to be. If we're all at the mall, right? It's packed in there. It's just packed. It's everybody talking. You cannot hear a little noise here, hear a little noise there. You can hear people talking. But we all having a conversation, you know, boom, 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 boom. But let us do like this. And I guarantee you, everybody in there is packed with thousands of people. They're going to say, what in the world are they looking at? What are they looking at? Now, they may pass you several times. And I guarantee you, they're going to look again like, what in the world are they looking at? See, it's not about, you remember the woman at the well? She didn't say, let me tell you about a man. She said, come see one. And people are supposed to see who you're looking at more so than hear what you're saying. See, if we're looking at him having face-to-face encounters, what did it say? That his way would be known upon the earth. His salvation would be demonstrated among the nations so that all the people would praise him. All the people will praise him. So we need to be making sure that we want face-to-face encounters with God early in the morning. The very first thing we want, oh, Lord, I got to have this face-to-face encounters with you. Because we got to get past hearing about God. Job said, I heard thee by the hearing of the ear. He said, but now I see you. Heard means to attentively listen to rumors. So a lot of people have said a lot of things about him. Maybe his great-grandfather or his mother or his father may have said something about the Lord. But because he didn't have no personal encounter himself, no face-to-face encounters, he heard him by rumors. We got to get past what Pastor Gail is saying. It got to be beyond that. We have to get that word. And even when we read in the word, we want to see you in the word. So, Lord, show me you in the word. When I'm in prayer, show me you in prayer. When I'm in worship, I want to see you in worship. Why? Because God knows that through that intimacy right there, the face-to-face encounters with God, we become more like him. We become more like him. He also know that my people are what? I know I'm in Pastor Gale's church. I know y'all know the scriptures now. Because he... No, I'm just saying. I'm in Pastor Gale's house. Now, what did I say? Huh? Okay. That's good. Let's get some listeners here. People are destroyed for what? Absolutely. What kind of knowledge? Intimate knowledge. He says, there's no truth. God had a controversy in the land. There's no truth in the land. There's no mercy. There's no knowledge of God. He said, he rounded up and says, my people are destroyed because they lack this face-to-face encounters, this knowledge to see him for who he really is. But then he says, people, he says, in the last days, many shall be deceived by flatteries. But he says, but they that know their God are going to wax strong and do great exploits. This here is vitally important to us, y'all. So we see here, David hears God's desires. It's first God's desire that he get. He says, when thou saidest seek my face, my heart, not just my mouth, but my heart said. My heart said, thy face I will seek. Now let's see how David gets the rest of it. So you go to Psalms 27 and 1. He says, the Lord is my light. Now, he didn't say the Lord was, nor did he say the Lord will be. But he says the Lord is. He realized he's my present reality. He's not going to be. He's not was, but he is right now. From the face-to-face encounters, he started realizing, man, God is present. He's forever present. We can't really escape from the presence of God. We can only ignore it. We can only ignore it because there's no hiding place, y'all. There's no hiding place because God is omniscient. He sees everything. Everything is open and manifest in his sight and is uncovered. And we're all naked before eyes of a jealous God whose name is Jealous, who jealously longs for our affection. We can't grieve the Holy Spirit, y'all. Not in these days. Not in this time. We have to give ourselves over to him. Give ourselves over to the Holy Spirit, because what he's going to do is he's going to lead us and guide us into the very reality that God is an omnipresent God, and we need to be present in the presence of an omnipresent God. We need to be in his presence to remain. And what's beautiful about it is he's not just here. See, he's inside of me. So how close can he get? Can he get any closer than that? But guess what? We're in his presence. But more importantly, we're inside of his presence. We're inside the one who makes the shadow. You know in Psalms 91 when he says, somebody help me out. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my fortune. Well, I trust. You know when he says, and we shall dwell in the shadow of the Almighty? See, we don't dwell in the shadow. We dwell in the one who makes the shadow. We in the one who makes the shadow. That's his revelation. But we in the one who makes the shadow. We are in Christ. And in Christ is hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What are we doing in this world like this? How many people here will put their money in a bank that's closing? Raise your hand if you can. Nobody would do that, right? Well, why will we invest our life in the world that's perishing? No, we don't want to invest our life in the world that's perishing. David understands. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. He's my salvation right now, not tomorrow, not yesterday, right now. The Lord is what? The strength of my life. When? There we go. You catch it. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but when? Right now. So when trouble comes, we need not worry about that, y'all. We need not worry about when the devil is raging. Why? Because he says, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what does he say? But why? So you mean to tell me he didn't say, because God is going to deliver you? He didn't say that? He didn't say, because he's going to give you a breakthrough? Wait a minute. Now, I know I may be hearing something. He didn't say because God will give you a breakthrough. He said what? Because God is with you. Why? Because God being with me is greater than the breakthrough. It's greater than the breakthrough. We want to get out of the fire, but God says, no, that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. No. See, they've been with a consuming fire, so what is this fire going to do if you turn it up 100 times? I've been with the consuming fire. No. So I'm not worried about my life. My life is not the issue. My God is. Why? Because he's truly my enjoyment. Your grace is so incredible. Your love is my employment. My only good is nearness to you. Yes. My only goodness is nearness to you. No. So we don't have to worry about that. Why? Because he's with me. He says he prepares the table. Where? So if God ain't worried about the enemy, then we shouldn't. He told me, he says, you know, when trouble comes, he says, look for the table. When trouble comes, when trials come, don't be afraid. Don't be worried about it. He says, just look for the table. Because I'll prepare the table, even in the presence of your enemy, so you can eat and drink of the reality of who I am. So you can see, I'm your enjoyment. I'm your satisfaction. I'm your utopia. Yes. I'm your meaning and reason for being. I'm your life, liberty, and happiness. We don't pursue that. We pursue God, who was that. He's all that. Just don't worry about it. What does he say?
This thing keeps shutting up. I got to find how to keep it on.
He says, when the wicked in my... Now, notice he says the Lord is right here. The Lord is, Lord, tomorrow, present. But then he says, when the enemy... See, because he's not always present like that. So you got to say, when the wicked and my enemies and my foes came up against me to eat of my flesh, what happened? You know why? Because of the face-to-face encounters, y'all. The face-to-face encounters gave David a revelation to say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked and my enemy and my foes come up against me to eat of my flesh, they stumble and fail. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war rises up against me, and this will I be confident. You would think that with the wars rising up against him and the host, you would think David's desire would change. But he still has the one desire. It never changed. He's not saying, Lord, deal with my host. He's not saying, deal with my enemies. He's saying, no, I got one desire. And that was what I'll seek after. That I'll dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? You mean to tell me this ain't a visitation place? We don't visit this place? Wait a minute. I'm a pastor or prophet. Y'all call him prophet? What do y'all call him? Bishop. Oh, my God. Good night. That's my guy. One thing of it is out of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I would dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Hallelujah. To do what? To behold the beauty of the Lord. That's holy perfections. I don't just want to be in his presence. I want to see you face to face, because I want to be more like you. I want Christ to be formed in me, Lord. I want him to be formed in me. I want to behold your glory and change and transform from one dimension of glory to the next. Help me. Help me see how phenomenally satisfying you are. Open my eyes to that reality. Open my eyes, Lord. He says, and then I will inquire in your temple. So I give you your presence here. I give the beauty of the Lord to the eyes, not my physical eyes, but my spiritual eyes. And I'll give this inquire my ears to the voice of the Lord. As we don't just want to be in his presence, we don't just want to behold his beauty. We want to hear his voice. We want to hear the words that come out of his mouth. Why? Because these words are forever settled in heaven. They endure forever. They true from the beginning. These words is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my pathway. These words are spirit and life. He's speaking the words of eternal life, a life beyond time, outside of time. And that's where God wants us to live. He don't want us to live in a transient world, but an eternal one. That's why you can hear in Ecclesiastes, he says, it's a time for this, it's a time for that, it's a time for this, it's a time for that, it's a time. What is he saying? That is a transient world, a world that is perishing. But what did he say? But God will make all things beautiful, meaning you will see him for who he really is. You will see he's your enjoyment. He makes all things beautiful in his time. He put eternity in our hearts so that we would know we're not made for a transient world, y'all. We're made for an eternal one. This eternal life, this is everything to us, y'all. This face-to-face encounters, it is everything. Hallelujah. Turn to Psalms 63 and 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. When you have to say amen, y'all got it up there. So y'all already had it because it's right there. See, I see y'all. Okay, y'all tricking me. I thought y'all had your Bibles or something. He says, "Oh God, thou art my God." Now, how can David say that? "Oh God, thou art my God." What he's doing is he see that he's in a covenant relationship with God. Because Jeremiah says, God makes a covenant, says, you will be my people, and I will be your God, and I will never turn away from doing good to you. He says, I'll put my fear in you so that you don't turn away from me. So if God puts his fear in you so that you don't turn away from me, what does that look like? Face-to-face encounters, right? That's God's heart. He wants this right here. This intimate encounters. And what he wants is God gives his whole self to you. But you got to give your whole self to him. Because even in a marriage, if you don't give yourself to the husband and you don't give yourself to the wife, there ain't no intimacy going on. So it's the same way with God. We have to give ourselves over to him. He says, my son, give me your heart. Why? So that your eyes can observe my ways. You can delight in my ways. When we see him like that, we start delighting in his ways, y'all. Because that intimate encounter, the spiritual intercourse, is what God wants. He longs for that. That's why the Holy Spirit, he jealously longs for our fellowship, our communion, our harmony, and participation in agreement. Why? Because he wants us to see God for who he really is. We got to see him for who he really is. Why? Because there's so much deception going around, y'all. We're talking about people falling away by the droves. Churches is closing down. 30,000 churches have been closing down, y'all. I'm telling you, it's a great following that's happening in this deception. Deception, y'all. This is how you can tell a false prophet. He may prophesy and say all the things right, but he don't lead you to God. See what I'm saying? He don't want you to have God. He might tell you, you know, you're going to get a new house. You're going to get all these things. But they will never connect you to God. They will never make you see him clear because that's not what it's all about to them. A real prophet is going to make sure. And I'm not saying those prophecies are not right. But a real prophet is going to. You hear, they always say, if you go through the history of the prophets, they always say, man, we got to get away from this idolatry. Every last one of them talking about, we got to move away from this idolatry. We got to stay away from those things, the worship of idols. We got to get away because the worship of God is everything, y'all. Only God, only the uncreated is worthy of this worship, y'all. Nothing created is worthy of worship. Nothing. Only that which is uncreated, uncaused, unaffected by anything, absolutely free of everything. He is the one. The one who is our joy, our enjoyment, our satisfaction. He is the one who deserves it. So David says, oh God, thou art my God, early. The first thing I'm thinking about in the morning is early will I seek thee, desire thee, crave thee, long for thee. Early will I seek thee. My soul longs for thee. I'm sorry. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land. Now, I would think that David's in a place in a dry and thirsty land, you would think that he wants some real water. Well, not real water, but this water in this world. But David is saying, no, that's not what I want. He's in a desert now. It's hot. But he's not talking about water from this world. He's talking about the fountain of living water. I believe it's in Jeremiah. It says, you have committed two evils. What evils is this? You've forsaken me, the fountain of living water. And you've turned to broken cisterns that don't hold no water. In other words, we're not desiring God above all things. I'm not saying us, but I'm saying that's what the scripture's saying. That this person is not desiring God above all things. He's turning away from that which really satisfies. That which gives him fulfillment. That's why he says, if you believe in me, if you believe in me, you will never thirst. But if you come to me, you will never hunger. So what is he saying? It's approaching God to eat and to drink of the reality of him. He says, come. When you eat and drink, guess what? Come and I'll give you rest. He says, learn of me, not learn about me. It's not learning about me, it's learn of me. In other words, the words come out of my mouth from the fellowship, from the intimacy. Learn of me. Then he says, and now you will find rest. Now, I used to think, when that scripture said that, he says, learn of me. I'm thinking that if I learn of him, then I would know what to do. But that's not what it says. It's not learn of me so you can know what to do. It's learn of me so you can cease from all your works. So you can rest. Because he that enters the rest of God ceases from all of his works. And now he's living out the finished works of God. He's living from a finished place. He's living from a place called done. He's living from that place right there. From a place of freedom. From a place of rest. From a place of peace. Listen to what he says. I will keep you in perfect peace. What do you mean? How he's going to keep you? You must be in it already. You're in the peace that he's going to keep you in, but we must keep our mind stayed on him because he's forever mindful of us. So we want to be forever mindful of him. He crowned us, the crown of creation. So you can say, what is man that you are so mindful of him that you will crown him as the crown of creation? What are we crowning him as? The supreme. We want to pursue the supreme value of him, who he really is, the treasure that he is, the enjoyment. I'm telling you, God is more enjoyment than anything. That's why he starts and says, in my presence is what? Fullness of joy. I can't let that scripture pass by me. I got to experience that every day. I'm saying, Lord, you got to help me experience that every day. I don't want to pass by that scripture. No, I want the reality of that right there. I want to be, that's why, you know, I might be off saying something different, but I got to say this. The scripture says about prayer, just real quick. He says, disciples says, teach us to pray. Why do we hear so many people think, teach us how? It don't say that. It don't say how to pray. It says teach me too. How make you think it's something I can do, maybe. If I learn how, maybe I can do something. But he says teach me too. In other words, what motivates you to pray? What's the motivation? I go to the Father because the Father loved me from the beginning. He gave me glory. He glorified me with himself. He is my enjoyment. He is my satisfaction. That's what makes him go to prayer. That's why he's up all night in prayer, because it's this intimacy, this fellowship that he loves, this communion, this harmony, this participation, this agreement that he has with the Father. Oh, my God. That's what motivates him to pray, because God, he sees his Father is his satisfaction. And when you see Father, the first thing it says, our Father. What do you think? Family. Favor. Friendship. Fellowship. That's what it's all about. We're talking about a Father who has already provided things for you already. Know what you need even before you ask. He knows it already. You know what he knows? He knows that when he created us, he created our heart with him in mind as his enjoyment. As his treasure. That's why it says where your treasure is, it's where your heart is going to be. Your heart got to be with him. And we got to get our hearts out of this world. Because how do we keep our hearts with all diligence? If it's in the world, it can't be kept here. But when it's in heaven, we seek the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God and set our what? Affection there. Oh, yeah, there we find true satisfaction and enjoyment. And we learn how to live beyond the temporalities of this world, driven by the senses. And we learn to live in the spirit. Spirit where true joy is. Hallelujah. He says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee, my soul thirst for thee, my flesh long for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Why? To see thy power and thy glory as I have seen in the sanctuary. Listen, when we get up, y'all, we want that right there. Why would we read these scriptures and don't really pursue that? No, we want to see his glory and his power just as we've seen in the sanctuary. We want to see it. Why does he say it? Because your loving kindness. Your loving kindness is better than life. Now, how many know that David had everything? He had everything. But he's saying now, but your loving kindness is better than all the things that I got right now. He says, you can take the kingdom. You can take everything from me, but don't take your presence away. Don't take your presence away. Why? Because there's some satisfaction and enjoyment in the presence of God. He says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift my hands in thy name. My soul shall be what? Satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise you. How? With joyful lips. It's the response. See, when it's here, you can't hold the joy, y'all. When he's really your satisfaction and your treasure, you cannot hold that joy. Your lips will be full of joy. Hallelujah. Now Moses took the children of Israel up to the mountain. How many of y'all heard that story? I'm in the right church then. He took them up to the mountain, right? And they got nervous when they heard the thundering and the lightning. And he's like, man, it's crazy up here. He said, now, Moses, you go up there. Because, see, nobody can hear God and live. Now, they just heard the Lord and they live, but they're still saying nobody can hear him and live. They're a little nervous about it. So they say, you go up there and whatever he say, whatever you tell us to do, we'll do. God chose Israel for intimacy. Israel chose distance for safety. God chose Israel to become worshipers. They chose to become workers. He was trying to develop sons in them, but they wanted to be slaves because their life was more important. See, they just didn't stay up there long enough to see that who can dwell in the burning fire? Who can dwell in the consuming fire? Who can dwell there? The ones who dwell in love. They who dwell in love dwell in God and God in them. God wanted them to see that, but they didn't see that he was gracious, full of compassion, long-suffering, always ready to forgive them, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy, abundant in goodness and truth. They couldn't see that. Because why? They didn't desire him above their own life, above everything. They couldn't see it, but if they would have stayed a little longer, they would have saw this unfailing love of God. I love the song y'all said, we see him for ourselves. What was that second song? There's something y'all said in the verse that said, I see you for myself. Huh? What did it say? See you with my own eyes. When I heard that, I was like, oh, we in the right church. I was like, yes, because that's what it's all about, y'all. It's all about that. We have to crave it. We have to long for it. We say, Lord, I don't care how long it takes. I'm here. I got to see your glory. I got to see you for myself. Not one time, but every day. Every day I want to see you, Lord. I want to be full of the Holy Ghost with power. I want to be being filled with the Spirit. I need to seek you. Moses understood and he says, listen, you told me that you was going to send somebody with me to the promised land. You didn't tell me who you going to send. So I'm going to send an angel with you. You're going to have protection. You're going to have all of the promises. You're going to have everything you want. But I'm not going. Moses says, huh? Huh? You say you're not going. See, Moses understood it. He says, if you don't go, don't send us nowhere. Don't send me nowhere. Why? Because presence over promise. Presence over promise, y'all. See, when we fully his possession, this is what he says. He says, listen, life is yours. Death is yours. He said, the present is yours. The future is yours. He said, all things are yours. The world is yours. But you are Christ, and Christ is God's. So when we fully his possession, then all these things are ours. And when we see him at work, so you're not going to be fully his possession if you don't really see him as your treasure. Because where your treasure is, your heart going to be. But if you don't see him as that, your heart not going to be with him. But when you see him as a treasure, then you know this is the greatest possession I can have in the world. So I'm going to possess him. But guess what he says? Guess what? Life is yours too, son. Death is yours too. The present is yours too. The future is yours too. All things are yours. The world is yours. You know, the only thing he said wasn't his was the past. It's over. It's over, y'all. It's over. God wants us to see it's his good pleasure to give us all things to enjoy, but not to love. No, we're not to love those things. We can enjoy them. But God is the one who we are to love with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. A loving attachment to him, a devoted attachment. That's what he means, to love God with all your heart. It be a devoted attachment with all my heart, a devoted attachment with all my soul, a devoted attachment with all my mind and all my strength. Because why? He's devotedly attached to us. He was unwilling to be without us. He was unwilling to do without us. He was unwilling to live without us. So he came and got us when we hated him, when we were enemies and ungodly and sinners and without strength. But he says, no, I refuse to be without you. I'm going to send my son to reconcile you back into myself. Now he delivered us. All his love flowed through his death. All of this love flowed through his death and reconciled us back to him. Now, what does God want to do with us when we're back to him now? He want to love us on a personal level. He don't just want you to know he loved you on the cross. He wants you to know you. He loves you personally. Because the secrets of the Lord is with those who fear him or those who treasure him. When you treasure him, you're going to know all of his secrets. He wants to reveal them to you. It's the most intimate things he wants to tell us. But if you don't fear him, you ain't in awe of him. You're not in awe of him. He don't have all your attention. Even right now, You let a lion come in here, and all of our attention is going to be on that lion. See what I'm saying? Because he's going to draw some kind of a fear, and it's be like, ah, even if a big rat come in here.
Nah, don't do that.
I should have turned that thing. Y'all forgive me, right?
No. A dog, a crazy dog, anything, it will have your attention. And that's what it means to be in awe, that God will have your undivided attention. That's what he wants. Now, somebody said, well, how do we give God all of our attention? How? It's like this. We all, how many got a license here? Driver license. So you drive. Say you're driving down the street, right? The police is behind you. You make a right turn, he make a right turn. You make a left, he make a left. And you're going to make sure your seatbelt on. You're going to make sure you both your hands on the steering wheel. And you're going to just really be a little bit nervous. Well, see, because God is omnipresent and God is omniscient. He sees everything. When we live like that, like God is everywhere, I cannot hide from his presence, but I'm in it, and he's inside of me, and I'm driving here, I'm going here, I can keep my mind on him because I know he's here with me, and he's looking at me. So you know that he's looking, and he's looking in your heart, and he's judging, he sees everything. He's like, whoa, I see everything. But the only difference between him and the police, we're nervous because we think we're going to be in trouble with him. But when we see God, whose eyes on us with so much grace and so much love and so much goodness and so much kindness, always ready to forgive us, he's slow to anger. We're like, I don't want to offend him. I don't want to oppose him. No, I want to please him. So that's how, that's one of the ways we do it, by constantly remembering that God sees everything. Everything is naked before him. So during the day, we should be like, Lord, search me, Lord. And know my heart. Try me, Lord, and know my thoughts. If there be any wicked way in me, what is a wicked way? A transit way. Then lead me in the way of what? Everlasting, beyond the transit. To an eternal way so we can see him clear. Because this world is after our affections and our mind's attention. Where we at? Okay, we about to wrap this up. And close with Paul. We'll close with Paul. Paul said, I'm willing to suffer the loss of all things for the surpassing value of knowing him. If we don't see the value of God, it says when they knew God, they did not value him. They did not treasure him. That's what it means. The glory is weightiness. It's heaviness. It's worth, value. It's when they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. Neither were they thankful. And their hearts became darkened. Wow. And their imaginations change. So you mean to tell me when we don't see him clear like he is, the enjoyment that he is, the satisfaction, and when we're not thankful, that you mean to tell me we become something that we were never before? See, when we're not really seeing God clear, seeing him for who he really is, living in truth and the reality of who he is, then we're not living the truth of who we are. So we be living like someone, like a cologne. It looks like him. Sound like him. But that's not him. So it's vitally important that we see him for all that he is. See. Be look, Lord, help me. So the scripture says, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. so that the eyes of my heart, my understanding is open, so I can know the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in us, the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. Who are those who believe? The ones who come to him. The ones who see the bread and eat it. The ones who see the water and drink it. See, our responsibility as pastors, as teachers, as the men of God giving the word, is to feed you. Jesus says to Peter, "Do you love me?" He says, "Yes." "Do you love me?" He says, "Yes." "Love me? Feed my people." Not because you can. Not because they're hungry. Why? Because you love me. And whatever makes you love me, feed them the same thing. So we can't, the thing about us, we can feed you, but I can't make you chew it. I can't make you digest it and swallow it. That's something you got to do. But you know why? If you're hungry, if you're real hungry, guess what? You're going to eat it. If you're real thirsty, you're going to drink it. Why? Because he's the one who satisfies you. So now, it's my job to feed. It's our job. When I'm being fed, I got to eat that. I got to be hungry. Why? Because he satisfies the longing soul. He fills the hungry soul with goodness. If you ain't hungry, how can he feed you? The goodness. If you're not longing, how can he satisfy the longing soul if it's not longing? No. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And, let's play for a minute. Yeah. Sorry about that. Lord, we just thank you. We just thank you, Lord. Truly open our eyes, Lord. Give us that spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him so that the eyes of our heart, our understanding is open so we would know the hope of his calling. He's calling us to face-to-face encounters so that Christ, the hope of glory, can be manifested in our life. Jesus, you said, let us be where you are so we can see your glory. We want to see your glory, Lord. We thank you for filling us with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding so that we walk worthy unto you, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in this knowledge of you, oh God. Hallelujah. With all patience and long suffering, with joy, Lord, because you have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance, and you delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into your marvelous light and kingdom of your dear Son. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for, oh God of hope, fill us with all joy and peace in believing that coming to you, eating and drinking, so that our hope, our expectation will overflow by the Holy Ghost. We'll forever give your name the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.